This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. President Obama announced an executive order last night that paves the way for millions of undocumented immigrants to stay in the United States.
If you've been in America for more than 5 years, if you have children who are American citizens or legal residents, if you register, pass a criminal background check, and you're willing to pay your fair share of taxes, you'll be able to apply to stay in this country temporarily without fear of deportation.
The order applies to an estimated 4 to 5 million people nationwide. Here in North Carolina, it applies to more than 100,000 people. The president bypassed Congress, sparking a backlash from Republicans, including Governor Pat McCrory, who called the order an unconstitutional overreach. Some lawmakers have threatened to shut down the government to retaliate. Others say they plan to sue the White House to stop it. The president says the order is well within his authority. Angry rhetoric aside, the order is in effect now. Here to talk about what it means for undocumented immigrants in North Carolina is Marty Rosenbluth. He's an immigration attorney in Burlington. Welcome, Marty. Good to have you here.
Thanks for being here.
Also with us, Pilar Rocha Goldberg, who is the president of El Centro Hispano in Durham. Hello, Pilar. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
Marty, remind us who's covered. The president, I think, outlined who that covers. We're estimating 100,000 people in North Carolina.
Well, yeah. I mean, basically, there's two groups of people who are covered under this new executive order. One, they're increasing the age for people who qualify for deferred action for childhood arrivals. And the second are parents of U.S. citizens and lawful permanent residents. So those are the two key groups that benefit from the president's announcement yesterday.
What kind of status will they have if they go through the application process and approved? What does that mean for them?
Well, they don't actually get any status per se. I mean, this is not a path to citizenship. It does not make them lawful permanent residents. What it is, it's a temporary reprieve from deportation and the ability to apply for work permits and driver's licenses and things like that.
So you can work, you can have a kind of legal identity, you are not eligible for any benefits, you wouldn't get in-state tax if your state doesn't allow undocumented individuals, say, in-state tuition. You don't get that benefit.
That's correct. So some of the stuff is going to be state by state, like you just said, you know, in-state tuition stuff. But, I mean, really the benefit is it lets people come out from the shadows. I mean, a lot of my clients are afraid to drive. I mean, they're afraid to drive their kids to school. They're afraid to drive their kids to doctor's appointments. You know, they're constantly looking over their shoulder. So this is going to let people come out of the shadows and breathe. I mean, so they're not constantly, you know, afraid of being deported. They can actually live relatively normal lives.
What about this business about paying taxes? We know a number of people in the economy, both immigrants and otherwise, are paid under the table. There's that. And then there are people who are here with an ID number who are having, you know, their withholding taken out. What does this mean? You'll have to pay taxes. Will people be paying back taxes?
Well, it kind of surprises me that no one in the Republican Party has realized this. But, I mean, people are going to owe hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in back taxes. I mean, even people who have been paying taxes very often have paid their taxes through like a local tax preparer who doesn't understand the law very well. So, I mean, just in my own experience with my own clients, a lot of my clients, when they qualify for a benefit, have to go back and look at their taxes with an accountant. And very often they owe lots and lots of money. So one of the benefits to this is people are going to actually have to come clean on their taxes.
Well, the benefits to all of us, of course, are that there are people among us doing the work that is required. And so they're a very important part of our society and our economy. And now back taxes. But does that mean it might be an impediment for those who might qualify? If I know I have to pay back taxes, plus there's an application fee, will that impede the application process?
Well, if we looked at what happened with the first round of Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, we estimate that only around 50% of folks who were eligible to apply actually applied. And there was a variety of reasons. Part of it was fear. That since this is a temporary measure, you know, what's going to happen if, you know, in the future this is canceled? Part of it is the cost. Because in addition to the $465 application fee, it really made a difference to hire an attorney to help you with the process. So, yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be scared. When people, you know, ask me, you know, am I advising my clients to apply? My response has been, you know, I'm explaining the risks and the benefits to people, you know, giving them the information they need to make an informed decision so they can make that informed decision on their own.
Pilar, we talked about part of this being people able to come out of the shadows. How important is that to you? I know your work at El Centro, a lot of it has to do with trying to integrate the Latino community with the greater community. And, of course, a great impediment is your legal status. Will this help, do you think, with integration?
Yes, of course, because people will become, you know, more exposed to different rules that apply, like getting really the salaries they should be getting. They should be getting better jobs. And also they will be more willing to get better skills for better jobs because they can really get paid the way they should and get the contracts they should. And also I think talking about our second generation of Latinos here who are, you know, the children we have mainly in our state in elementary school, for parents to be able to really speak up and help the children to become, you know, really well-educated and well-integrated to the community. So we see this is really helpful for us in our task and in general for the country to have these Latinos become a better and positive, active part of the community.
You know, I guess there's also a problem even in reporting crime to the police. I mean, those sort of things have always been a problem for people who have to live in the shadows. Do you see any of that changing?
Yes, definitely, because we have seen, you know, crime increasing because when people call, some of them end up in deportation cases because instead of following, you know, the felons, they ask for documentation. So that will help a lot with the safety and that relationship between law enforcement and our community.
Yeah, that was actually one of the provisions that was announced yesterday that hasn't gotten that much attention is the Obama administration is finally canceling this program called Secured Communities, which is one of the worst misnomers I've ever heard, because this program that was designed to catch, you know, dangerous felons, mostly caught people for minor crimes like driving without a license. And the Obama administration, even though they didn't start the program, very aggressively pursued it. And it's largely Secure Communities that's responsible for the, you know, huge number of deportations we've seen under the Obama administration.
We're talking about statewide impact of President Obama's executive order on immigration today on The State of Things. Pilar, are you hearing from the community? We heard about potential impediments to application. On the other hand, there are benefits. What are you hearing from the community about this new executive order?
Yeah, people are very excited. We also have had a lot of phone calls and questions about fear, about what if I put out all my information and in some years this change, what are they going to do? And I think it was the same when the DACA came. So we hear that also people asking really what are the papers do I need to put together, how much is going to cost me. And also we hear the other piece, other people thinking, do I really apply for this? Or a lot of confusion, like always, understanding really what is this about. And one thing we always tell our community, and we've been telling people since they started calling us this week, is you have to wait because this is an announcement. We don't know all the details yet. We know some of them, but please don't start paying anything. Really the process hasn't started yet. So you have to wait. You have to start probably putting together some of the papers we know you need. But don't hire anybody, don't pay to anybody, because we had that problem with DACA also. We had a lot of fraud, people asking, notaries asking for money so we can put you first in the line so you can get it, when we didn't even know how it was going to look like. So that's the other thing we are telling our community. Be careful, be prepared, but wait for informational sessions. And actually, we are putting one together. And I know in other places we have some informational sessions with the information we have right now to see. And also for the community to be informed. That's really important.
Yeah, we're having a community forum in Burlington this weekend to basically put out exactly that message that, you know, don't do anything yet. The Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals extension, they won't begin to accept applications for another 90 days. And for the one for the parents of U.S. citizens, they're not going to start accepting applications for 180 days. So the message to the community really is, you know, gather your documentation, start saving money for the fee, even though we don't know what the fee is going to be, and just be prepared. But there are a lot already of scam artists who are coming out to prey on the immigrant communities, making all kinds of promises that they can't keep.
I want to thank you both for being on the program today. Marty Rosenbluth is an immigration attorney in Burlington. Thank you, Marty.
Thank you.
And Pilar Rocha Goldberg is president and CEO of El Centro Hispano in Durham. Pilar, thank you so much for being
here. Thank you.
Just ahead, we're going to take a look at the news from around the state. It's a reporter's notebook on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.